Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Let's pray. Father God, I just pray in this season, when the devil is trying to divide, that we would just lean into unity. That we would just lean into the blessing that you have for us when we walk in unity. In our church, in our marriages, in our relationships, in our families, in our businesses, in whatever place you have placed us, I pray right now that we would walk in unity. Because we know and we believe your word to be true, that you command the blessing where there is unity. And so I just declare right now, this house is blessed in this season because we walk in unity. There's marriages in here that are going to be blessed today because they choose to walk in unity. You command the blessing in those places. And so marriages are going to be transformed today. Lives are going to be transformed. Businesses are going to be transformed. There's going to be a church transformed. Your church worldwide will be transformed as we learn what it means to walk in unity. Lord Jesus, we praise you and we thank you that you command the blessing to go to those places. We're going to be different than the world. There won't be division in your house. There's unity in your house. Jesus, you are blessed. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Holy Spirit, come right now. Have your way in us. Break us down. Break down division in our hearts. Reveal to us where there's been division and rebellion. And Lord, we want to repent and come back to you today. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. You can have a seat. You're going to walk out blessed today. Your life is going to be different. It is. You came in here today and you weren't expecting much. You just thought, man, some of you thought, man, I just got to be here for a baby dedication. I don't even want to be here. Hey, we're glad you're here. You're going to be blessed today. We love you. Okay? Hey, church, he loves you. You need to know that today. He loves you so much. He cares for you. And so anytime we go to his word and you feel a little uncomfortable, you feel a little like, who's he? Who's he saying that? It ain't me. It's the word. All right? You want to get mad at me? You can get mad at me. But all I'm doing, I'm going to preach the word today. That's it. But let me tell you something. He wants to bless you. He does. And if you will fight for unity, it's worth fighting for. And it will change your life. It will change your marriage. It will change your friendships. It will change every relationship. But you got to fight for it. We've been in a series in Jude. And I want you to look there. Jude, verse 3. Jude says this all the way back at the very beginning. Beloved, once again, remember that. He cares for the church. He loves the church. Same thing. Like when I look out, when I get up here to preach on a Sunday, I want you to know, I love you. Like some of you, you're like, you don't even know my name. I want to know your name. I do. I care for you. God's given me a heart for his people. And I just want to encourage some of you, if you feel like you got a kind of a cold heart right now, like a stony heart, you're just having a hard time feeling things, just begin to pray a simple prayer. Just say, Lord, let me feel what you feel. Lord, I want to want what you want. Just begin to talk to him. That's a simple prayer. Lord, let me want what you want, because right now, I don't want it. If you're being honest right now, you're here today and you don't really want it, right? You don't really want to change. You don't really want your life to look different. You're okay with where things are at. But let me tell you something. If you'll just begin to pray a simple prayer and just say, Lord, I want to want what you want, he'll begin to change the desires of your heart. It says he wants to give you the desires of your heart. But that doesn't mean he wants to give you your worldly desires. He wants to give you heavenly, supernatural, unseen desires. He wants to transform the desires of your heart. And so as your heart begins to change, when you give your life to Jesus, guess what? Then he's going to give you the desires of your heart, because now they match up with the kingdom. He wants to change your heart today. So just begin to pray that simple prayer. Lord, help me want what you want. To desire that. What does he want? He wants unity. What is unity? It's worth fighting for. Jude 3, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary. Jude, he had a sermon, he had a letter he wanted to write to the people, but he found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you, challenging you to contend, to fight earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. There's seasons that you got to choose to fight, to contend. You go to battle. It was like in the Greek, it was like wrestling. Like the early days of the Olympics in Greece, that's what this word would have been used for, fighting, wrestling. You're struggling. It's worth the struggle. In your marriage right now, somebody needs to hear this. It's worth the struggle. You're saying, no, you don't understand. You don't know. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know how hard every day is. We see things differently. We just, things aren't lining up. We're two different people. We're not the same people as when we met. That's a lie from the devil. Don't believe those lies. Don't let your feelings lead you today. Don't let your feelings lead you into the darkness, into the pit. Choices lead, feelings follow. You make the hard choices. You make the difficult choices. And guess what? The feelings will begin to follow. You might be like, oh, I don't feel the same. I don't have butterflies like I used to when we first met. Well, you're not a 17-year-old idiot anymore. Grow up. Leave childish things behind. You're a man. You're a woman. You're a man and woman of God. Don't fall for the lies of the devil. He wants you to give up right now. We're driving. We get back yesterday. I don't even know where we got back from. We pull into the park, into the garage. I don't have a parking lot at my house. We have a garage. We pull into the garage. And I don't even know where this came from, but our son Maverick was asking questions about divorce and some of these things. And you know, like, would you guys ever do that? And we're like, no, we don't even talk about it. It's not even an option. Take it off the table right now. If you've been using that word, woo, I feel the Holy Spirit on this. If you've been using that word in your house, say you're done with it right now. Say you're done right now. Run from it. Repent from it. Say, we're not even going to leave that on the table. It's not an option in this home because the Lord doesn't want that. The Lord commands his blessing where there's unity. You want to be blessed? It is supernatural. You're not just lucky. You're blessed when you're in the kingdom. Don't call it luck anymore. Change your language. Don't just say, oh, that's bad luck or, oh, that's good luck. No. You're blessed or you're cursed. That's biblical language right there. Step out of the curse and into the blessing. Your parents might have got divorced. Your grandparents might have got divorced, but you're a curse breaker. You're stepping into all of what Jesus has for you. And he's going to command the blessing where there's unity, but you have to contend for it. You got to fight for it. But praise God, it's so worth it. If you'll fight, it's worth it. There's nothing greater than the victory. When you get up from wrestling year after year and fighting and contending for the faith that is for all, let me tell you something. It's worth it. Every time you get off the mat and he raises your hand up in victory and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You did well. You didn't give up when that battle came. You didn't give up when the fight came. You didn't give up. You didn't walk away. You didn't tap out. Woo, praise God, he's moving today. He's moving. Give him a hand. Give him a hand. He's moving. He's moving. I know this because I came in this morning at 7 o'clock and I said, Lord, I don't even know what you want me to preach on. He already gave me a full sermon right there. That was good. Praise God. I know. Some of you are like, that was pretty good for a guy that didn't know what he was preaching on this morning. It ain't me. It's the Holy Spirit. When he starts to compel me, when he starts to move in the room, I just get into the river. I just get into the flow and I say, God, take us where you want to go. It's his church. It's his word. Submit to it. And when you submit, when you stop struggling against the current and you just get into the flow, he'll carry you places you never knew were possible. He'll carry you right into the promised land. He'll carry you into the places that you thought were impossible to get into, that you thought you would never have access to. But he will open doors that no man can open. And he will set up walls and barriers so that no enemy can come in anymore. Where the enemy, where the devil's had access, he will close off access in the name of Jesus Christ. He wants to shut that right now. Divorce just came off the table for somebody in here. You're going to fight today. You're going to fight. You're going to contend because you know it's worth fighting for. You know that to walk in the blessing, where he commands his blessing, it's a beautiful place and it's worth fighting for. This church that Jude was writing to, there was division popping up from false teachers. Jude, verse 10. But these people, these teachers, they speak evil of whatever they do not know. And whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, they just deal in the natural. They just deal in the flesh. Sometimes that's just easier, right? That's just easier. We can comprehend that. We can understand that. That's just easier. Whatever I can see, whatever I can touch, whatever I can feel. But if you will continue to take steps of faith, I'm telling you, there is something that will change and shift spiritually. And you may not see it right away, but when you take a step of obedience in the natural to walk in obedience to his word, it's a step of faith. You make a choice. You might not feel like it. You might not understand it. You might not see. I don't really get it. I don't understand, Lord. But if you take a step of faith, it will begin to shift your life spiritually. And soon, what's happening in the spiritual realm, what's happening unseen, that you don't even know about or realize, it'll begin to take root and to grow and to take form in the natural. And you'll begin to see, oh my goodness, God is working in my life. I see the blessings starting to show up. I see his hand on my life. I see provision coming from places I didn't know provision can come from. I see protection. I see his hand on my life. Take a step of obedience today. Don't deal in the natural like brute beasts. In these things, they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the air of Balaam for profit, and they perished in the rebellion of Korah. We looked at these three last week. You can go back and you can find all three of these stories in the Old Testament. Go back and find it. Go back. If you missed last week, go back, listen to that sermon. Go and look at those scriptures. Look how these men operated in the flesh, like brute beasts in the natural. These, verse 12, are spots in your love feasts. While they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves, they are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. These are false teachers. They would have these feasts, the Christians. They would get together. They would gather. We just did this not too long ago. After Thanksgiving, we had a feast here, and we gathered together, and we ate, and we enjoyed time together. We feasted together. There's seasons of feasting and fasting. We're coming up on a season of fasting coming up in January. I want to encourage you, start preparing yourself now. Start preparing yourself now. We're coming into a season of 21 days of prayer and fasting, and we're going to lean into the Lord's presence. But we have seasons of feasting and fasting. And so there were these love feasts, these feasts where they would gather as the church. And Jude says, these teachers, they are spots in your love feasts. This word in the Greek, spots, it's spilos. It's a blemish, it's a spot, it's a stain, it's a hidden rock or a reef. And I started to see this picture in my mind when Jude was writing this, and I saw that word, and I started to think, what does a hidden reef do? It sinks ships. You don't even see it. It's right there in front of you, and you're just sailing along, and all of a sudden you hit it, and now you got a hole in the ship, and you're leaking. And all of a sudden you're sinking. It's a hidden spot. Be careful. Do you have a blind spot in your life? That's why you need the church. That's why you need people. You need the church because sometimes God is revealing something to somebody and he's using that person to share something into your life, and you might not really want to hear it because you kind of like the direction you're going. It's good. You're on a cruise ship and everything is great and wonderful, and all of a sudden somebody starts coming and saying, hey, there's a reef up ahead, and you're heading right towards it. You need to change direction. And you might not want to hear that because you're just relaxing right now and you don't want to change direction. That means you got to work, right? You got to go, you got to get off the deck where you've been like sunbathing and you got to go up to the steering wheel. I know a lot about ships, all right? I've never even been on a cruise. I'm just guessing right now. And you got to go up and you got to turn that wheel and it's tough. It's strenuous and you're not just relaxing anymore on the deck. But some of us, when we get those words, we're just like, nah, I'm just going to keep going. What are you going to do? You just stay down there sunbathing, but all of a sudden, you hit that reef, you hit that rock, you got a hole in the ship now, and you're leaking, and you're just blind to it. Actually, you're not even blind to it. You are purposefully ignoring it because somebody gave you a word. Somebody gave you a warning. They saw the spot. They saw the reef. And they warned you, and you did nothing about it. And in fact, now you've hit it. You've come upon it, and you have a hole in your ship, and you're just letting it go. And you're just like, no, it's fine. It's good. And you're slowly taking on water. And you're slowly sinking. And the ship gets lower and lower and lower until it's too late, and you have no other place to go. There's nothing that can be salvaged at this point. That's our life. When we begin to warn those who God is using to bring into our life and speak. But pride gets in the way. Pride gets in the way from us listening in those seasons. Because who are they to say that to us? Who are they to, don't judge me. Only God can judge. No, actually inside the church, judgment is good. Judgment done from a brotherly, standpoint of brotherly love and bringing correction to course correct away from the reefs, away from those spots. It's actually it's the most loving thing you can do when you have a tough conversation with somebody you love within the church. It's not our job to judge outside the church, but inside the church, if we see something, we come in and if the Holy Spirit is calling us to speak into somebody's life, we go and have that conversation, brother to brother, sister to sister. And hopefully we pray that there would be course correction. And if they don't receive it, then what do? Then we bring in another brother. And if they still don't receive it, then at that point we say, listen, if you're willfully ignoring this blind spot, if you're willfully saying like, hey, this isn't a big deal, this isn't sin, then we have to remove you from the body of Christ. Until you're ready. Paul describes it as handing them over to Satan. You can't be inside his house until you are ready to walk in a life of repentance, acknowledging our sin. These false teachers, they did not acknowledge sin. They celebrated sin. They praised it. They highlighted it. They said, it's great. We got grace. It'll cover it up. Or they didn't even say that sometimes. Sometimes they would just say, oh, it's not a big deal. Did Jesus really say that? Did he really care about that? Oh, that's Old Testament. That's not New Testament. You've probably heard some of these things before. It's a common theme. It's a common thread with false teachers today. Be aware. Be diligent. Be proactive. Know the word and respond. I had a blind spot revealed to me recently. I didn't really want to hear it. But it was a close friend of mine who I respect, who I love, who I care for, who's a part of this church. And he just wanted to have a conversation with me. And we sat down and he started to share some things that he was kind of concerned about. And I was like, I hadn't even thought about that. There's two ways I can react right there. I can react from my pride. I can say, get out of here. I don't care what you say. Or you can come at it from a humble standpoint. You can try to be humble and listen and hear the person out and just say, hey, let me pray about that. Let me take that to the Lord. Let me look at that in Scripture. Let me see. How will you receive it when somebody brings correction into your life? Will you receive it in pride or humility? Look at, I got to go way down here for this one. Look at 1 Peter 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. If you'll humble yourself, he will raise you up. He'll raise you up at the right time if you'll just trust him and walk in humility. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Walk in humility. So these are spots in your love feast, it says in verse 12. While they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. That word serving is shepherding. They're only taking care of themselves. They're shepherding. Like, shepherding is used in a positive term, in a positive light, so many times throughout Scripture. But these people right here, they were not concerned about shepherding God's flock. They were concerned about shepherding themselves. That was their number one concern. That was their number one care. They are like clouds without water, carried about by the winds. Clouds without water. What do clouds without water do? They're light. They move easily. They move quickly. The wind blows them from place to place. Clouds filled with water, clouds that provide water, they don't move quickly. I find that interesting when we think about false teachers. They're people that don't understand what it means to be planted in his presence, to be patient in his presence. They don't carry a weight to them. They don't carry the anointing. They'll say the right things, but they won't do the right things. They can look a certain way. They can appear a certain way. But there's no water. There's no flow. There's no Holy Spirit. There's no anointing. They're like late autumn trees without fruit. What did Jesus say? Check the fruit of the Spirit. Love, peace, patience, kindness, joy, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Test the fruit. If you're not sure, go back to those things and look and see. Do you see the fruit of the Spirit? Do you see even signs of the fruit of the Spirit? Do you even see like small little, just, you know, little fruit just forming on the tree? Do you see just little signs? With false teachers, you won't see that. You won't find that. You might find some fake fruit, but you'll be able to smell it. You'll be able to tell really quick. That ain't real fruit. That's not Holy Spirit. That's not supernatural fruit. Test the fruit. False teachers are like late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Be wise, be discerning, know his word. Now Enoch, the son from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. There will be judgment. There will. It's coming. Verse 16. These are grumblers, complainers. When you're talking about testing the fruit, is there grumbling and is there complaining? Because where there's grumbling and where there's complaining, there will not be unity. There won't be. And so if there's grumbling and complaining, you can be sure that is the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit. And so if you got grumbling and complaining going on around you, but they're claiming and they're saying, oh yeah, Jesus, and I'm a Christian and I'm a believer, all these things, grumbling and complaining, that's one of the most obvious fruits that you can test right there. That's bad fruit. It's rotten fruit. If you see that fruit, run. What happened to Korah? If you go back and you look at that story in Numbers, and you look at Korah, what did he do? It all began, his rebellion, it all began from a place of complaining and grumbling. And what did he do? He tried to bring others in with him to create division where God called there to be unity. That's what divisive people do. And sometimes we're just looking at the stage and we're just looking for these false teachers. But let me tell you something. These people, they can be sitting out in the house with you. Be wary. I'm not telling you, don't walk around paranoid. Like, don't be like, they might be a fake Christian. They might be a fake Christian. Don't walk around like that. We want to build it up in love, but just be wary, be wise, be discerning, and know that when you see grumbling and complaining, that's a sign. And what happened to Korah? He brought others in with him. Those he brought in with him into rebellion against Moses and Aaron, the men that God had called and appointed to lead his people. When they came to stand before the Lord to see who God would judge as righteous, it says that God opened up the earth and it swallowed the rebels. He did a new thing that he had never done before. He opened up the earth and it swallowed the rebels and their families down with them. Grumbling and complaining won't just ruin your life, it will ruin your family's lives. It will consume you and it will consume your family. It will destroy you. It says those that didn't get consumed by the earth, they began to run. They were also in rebellion and they were consumed by fire. Complaining will consume you. We fight for unity. Not uniformity. We're not going to all think the same. We're not going to all act the same. We're not going to all look the same. We're not going to all dress the same. That's not what God is calling for the church. We choose unity. When there's a disagreement, when there's a difference of opinion, when there's something that we look at in Scripture and it's a non-essential, there's some things that we all come to an agreement on in Scripture and we say, these things are essential. But there's some things that there can be a little disagreement. There can be a little bit of interpretation differences there. But we choose to move forward in unity. In the essentials, unity. We fight for it because it's worth fighting for. We contend for it because we know what God's word says and we know his word is true, that in a place where there's unity, he commands his blessing. It used to be formerly finance. Now we call it our Kingdom Builder meeting. And we got a few leaders in our church that are on this team. And we were sitting down yesterday. And we're just kind of going through, just planning out our budget for 2025 and what that looks like. And like, first of all, I just want to say, like, God has been so good and faithful in this house. Like, the provision and the increase that we've seen for what he's provided in this house, it's incredible. It's an act of God. It's a movement of the Holy Spirit. And so as we're looking and trying to ask him and seek his will on how to steward his money wisely and steward it best for the kingdom so that we can invest in what he wants to do and what he's called us to do as a church, as we're sitting there doing this and working through this together, let me tell you something. There's a lot of points where we had disagreement at the table. I think there's five of us in there. There's five of us sitting at this table. And there's five of us that are all fighting and advocating for, man, we need to invest it here. We need to invest it here. And never once did we grumble or complain. And never once was I worried that one of these guys leaving the table was going to go talk to another guy and be like, can't believe they want to spend the money on whatever, an inflatable air game instead of a llama for Christmas. I don't know. Should we get a llama for Christmas? I don't know. That'd be cool. I was never worried about that. Because I know these men and I know their hearts and I know they love the Lord. And I know in every conversation and everything that kind of got brought up and we talked about it, what were we doing? We were contending, but we were choosing to contend for unity. And so even when there was disagreement, even when there wasn't 100% agreement on something or on an issue, in the end, what would we do? We would choose to say, hey, I might not agree with this, but I believe and I trust that we're all spirit-filled men of God right here sitting at this table, and we want what's best for the kingdom, and we all love the Lord, we love his word, and we want to listen to his voice and walk in obedience to him above all things. And so we're going to choose to walk in unity, even though we don't have full agreement on this issue. That's what unity looks like. It doesn't mean you hide what's going on. It doesn't mean if you disagree, like you never bring it up. You never have a tough conversation. You never bring up anything because you're worried like, oh, I don't want to be disunited. No. Bring it up. Talk about it. And then figure out what it looks like to go forward in unity. Don't just hide and bury it, because if you hide and bury it, it will grow into resentment and bitterness. There were some tough things that got brought up at that table yesterday, but I'm glad they got brought up at the table and not behind anybody's back. That's where bitterness and rebellion grow. And so some of you in here today, you need to know that right now. There's been rebellion in your life, and what you sow, you will reap. Because right now, this rebellion that was happening for Moses and Aaron, guess what? It came from this man, Korah. But a few chapters earlier, Aaron and his sister Miriam began to grumble and complain against their brother Moses. And they had a little bit of bitterness and grumbling and complaining and rebellion that was growing. And what happens later on? Like, God resolves that. He resolves what was happening there. And they choose to walk forward in unity. But what had Aaron done? He had sowed rebellion in his life. What happens two chapters later? He reaps rebellion. Because when Korah begins to grumble and complain, he doesn't just come against Moses. He comes against Moses and Aaron. Because Aaron hadn't submitted himself under the leadership of Moses, and he had walked in rebellion. He sowed rebellion among God's people. Now all of a sudden, he reaps rebellion in his life. If you sow rebellion, you will reap rebellion. Galatians 6, what you sow, you will reap. If you're sowing rebellion in your life and then you're wondering, wow, why does nobody listen to me at work? Wow, why does nobody listen to me in my family? Why is it everybody just seems to be against me? It's because you're just reaping what you sow. But if you'll begin to sow unity, you'll begin to reap unity. If you'll begin to fight for unity, you'll begin to reap a new harvest. He will begin to command his blessing on your life. So look at the words you're speaking. Look at the people you're talking to. What are you saying to them? Are you speaking life, or are you speaking grumbling and complaining? What you sow, you will reap. That's a promise from his word. I want you to be blessed, not cursed. These are grumblers and complainers walking according to their own lusts. If you're grumbling and complaining, you're just out for yourself. It's selfish desire. It's lust. And they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. They'll say the right things. Trust me, I know this. I was so good at this. I could say all the right things. I could flatter people. I could make people feel special. I could do all those things. But I also knew how to sow rebellion. I did it in ministry for a long time. In fact, I did it in such a good, like, I would have been a great politician before the Holy Spirit got a hold of me. I would have. Because I could say all the right things, and I could gather people to me, just like what Korah did in the rebellion back in Numbers 18. He gathered people to him. He was a politician. And he was saying all the right things, and he was building up this following. I was good at it. But the Lord convicted me and he pierced my heart and he showed me in these last few years, you walked in rebellion. And that's why you reaped so much rebellion in your life. But I want to change your life. If you'll begin to sow unity, you will reap unity in your life. And I'm telling you, I'm in a harvest season of unity. I'm seeing unity in my marriage. I'm seeing unity in my family. And I'm seeing unity in our house. I've seen God do a great thing in this past year. And he is commanding his blessing on this house. We've seen it. We don't really care. We don't get caught up too much in the numbers here. Sometimes we don't even really count. Like, we don't even know how many people are showing up. We're going to start counting just so we can steward well everything God gives us. But we see growth in this season, not just in the numbers, but we see it. One of the areas that we've seen growth is our finances. God has blessed us. And that's not like a big pat on the back, like, wow, we're doing great as a business. We're not a business. We don't care about that. But we see it as God is trusting us with more. In the parable of the talents, what happens? If you steward well what he gives you more. He's given us more every year as a house. And so that's what we want to be. We want to be good stewards here. We want to steward well for his kingdom, not to build our own, not to build our own lustful desires, not to build our own selfish kingdoms, but to build his house. And we want this to be a house that more and more people can come into because we want people to receive the same blessing that we're receiving. And so this house, where we're at now, we won't be here for long. You can feel it already. The room gets tighter and tighter every week. There's more and more chairs being filled up. And so I'm just believing that as we continue to steward this space well, he's preparing another space for us. Because he's got more sons and daughters in this city that he wants to bring into his house, that he's calling back home, that he's calling out of rebellion and into repentance. He wants to change and transform lives in this city. He wants people to walk in the same blessing that you've gotten to walk in this past year, this past 2 years, or maybe since the very birth of this church. You know, I've heard some of your testimonies. You've been blessed. Your family will never be the same. God is changing lives and generations in this house, and he wants to do it for the rest of this city. He commands his blessing where there's unity. We fight for unity. It's worth fighting for. We have difficult conversations when we need to have them. We don't walk in flattery. We walk in the truth. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the words of the apostles. How they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. If you're grumbling, if you're complaining, if you're causing division, and you're claiming that you have the Holy Spirit, that's a lie. That's a lie. You can't walk in grumbling, complaining, division, and rebellion when you are walking filled with his Holy Spirit. He will convict you. And if he's not convicting you, then you've probably seared your conscience. You've grieved his Spirit. And I would just challenge you today, all you got to do is just say, Lord, I repent for grieving your Spirit. I repent for walking in rebellion. Please fill me afresh again, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. If you'll repent of your rebellion, he will come in and he will cleanse the temple. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. Invite him back in to cleanse the temple. Step out of rebellion and into repentance. Worship team, would you come forward? Let's pray. Father God, just thank you so much for this house. Jesus, thank you for how you're moving and working in the room right now. Holy Spirit, I pray for healing. Where there's been rebellion, I pray for healing. I'm believing for physical healing right now in people's hands. Where there's been rebellion, you're healing hands, you're healing arthritis right now in the room. I just feel somebody's left hand is getting healed today. Where there's been pain, where there's been discomfort, if you'll just repent right now, I'm just believing he wants to heal you. As you step back into alignment, as you step back into unity, as you step back into his house, and trusting and obeying His voice in your life, there's going to be physical healing that occurs. Somebody's left hand is just like numb right now. It's like prickling right now, and you feel that going through your body. Jesus, thank you for healing right now in this moment. Holy Spirit, thank you for conviction. Thank you for change. Thank you for repentance. Jesus, thank you that you command the blessing where there's unity. Thank you that you are blessing this house. Thank you that you are blessing marriages. That discontentment, disunity, and divorce are ending today. That there's new life beginning. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father God, we just praise you right now. Let discontentment rule over your life anymore. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Jesus, thank you for moving in this room. Father God, we love you. In Him pray. Amen.